on this episode of Let's Get Frank. Meet New Zealand Frank. He's an environmental scientist. Also, he's a musician who actually had a number 10 hit in January of 2019. He's a fast talker, which is to say he's an auctioneer. You could say he's a Frank of all trades. He's somewhere between 40 and 60 years old, but he's not going to give you the exact number. He says the only virtual dating he's done is in a dream state, meaning he's never been on a virtual date, but he's dreamt that he did. Could New Zealand Frank be the Frank that BB is looking for? This is Let's Get Frank.
Annabelle, how have you been, Toots?
I've been okay. Thanks for asking. How have you been?
Oh, you know, just... I dreamt about Brian Ferry last night.
That actually was the first tweet I saw was you talking on Twitter about your dream. I was like, morning, everyone. BB's here.
But it was so intense. So he was gay. He was starring in EastEnders and his acting was a revelation. And he gave me a tote bag that I ruined with a thick brown crayon. So I woke up a little upset with myself because I'd ruined a gift that... Brian Ferry had given me. Do you think, I'll tell you what I do on dates. Have I ever talked about my dreams on dates? Because people hate hearing about dreams.
I know, but people equally, those same people love talking about their own dreams. It's like an unfulfilling prophecy. I am definitely in the camp. Although we've been big dreamers in my family. We're all very visceral, very kind of crazy dreams that are relentless. And so I've grown up, what did you dream about last night? So I quite like hearing about other people's dreams. It's a fascinating insight into their psyche.
I think this means you might call me. I do have another date today. But before I talk about today's Frank, can I please ask you about pubic hair and not necessarily your own?
Yes.
So I saw a girlfriend the other day and she's met a new bloke. She has a new beau. She said that I think it was their first or second after making the sweet love that he kind of motioned to below her waist and mentioned the words personal preference and then went on to say what his personal preference was, which is no hair. And I was conflicted. Because of course it's up to the woman what she does with anything anywhere on her person. But there is also that thing of, if it gives you confidence, if you, I guess my question is, what is the trend? Oh, I don't even know what I'm asking. It just blew my little mind a bit. And I was like, is this another minefield that I've got to deal with?
I mean, it very well, maybe. It's a minefield that I feel shouldn't exist. But it does because, you know, we've studied various couples, singles, and ask them, you know, what do you think about pubic hair? I mean, we are asking the questions, what do you think? And 30% of men say pubic hair is a relationship deal breaker, which seems absolutely ridiculous. Yet it's, I do think though, that maybe before you engage in a relationship, when you've got your kind of single head on and you're thinking, oh, what's my checklist? You can afford to be a bit, you know, to have this incredibly high bar where people have to reach certain standards in your head. But the reality of it is, when you meet someone that you like, does it matter at all what is between their legs when it comes to hair? And equally, you could, you know, boot on the other foot. You could say, well, actually, I don't like an au naturel man or, and that's, you know, you have to apply your own standards to yourself. People equate like a well-trimmed lady garden with hygiene, and the two are not linked at all. It is personal preference, but that preference is up to that person, if that makes sense. So while you can have your, you know, ideals, it doesn't mean to say you get to impose those on someone you're dating.
I'm anti-dating today, not just because our Frank is in New Zealand, which means I'm up at 3 a.m. But I just think that is so extraordinary. I went on one of my more recent dates. This is before the pandemic, but by which I mean the Great Plague. I don't date. I met this bloke and I didn't like him at all. But I did have enough white wine. I thought, oh God, maybe I'll have a little kiss. I'm not sure. I don't know what went on actually, because I let myself down. And I had a little kiss with him, which was horrible. And then I got the train home, and on the train he sent me a text and he just said, please say you have pubic hair. So the assumption that that's allowed to ask that, it just blows my mind.
I know. I think for the majority of people, I think alcohol definitely plays a part in maybe broaching subjects or asking questions that with a stone cold sober head you may not do. But the fact that that question is in the back areas of their brain in the first place makes you say, well, why do you get to say? And we could talk for days about why that is. I'll just summarize it with the patriarchy, as we can blame a lot of things on. It is, you know, beauty standards. And I was reading this incredible article the other day about no hair being feminine, and the link that actually no hair is childlike, which is submissive.
It's childlike.
It's also linked to the idea that, well, who told us we needed to shave? Probably razor companies. They came up with some kind of advertising ideals, beautiful women that we all wanted to aspire to be like. And then it went on to say, well, who ran those advertising companies? And the answer is it was not many women at the time. So, yeah, it was a fascinating article. And I'm sure if you Google beauty standards shaving, it'll pop up.
Yeah, well, and it's porn, isn't it? And it was no hair for visual reasons. I don't know. I just, it kind of really angers me. And actually, don't we, for hygiene and feminine health, need hair?
Our bodies are incredibly good at providing us with what we need. We have eyelashes to protect our eyes. We have pubic hair to protect our nether regions. I do think that, you know, if you want to do absolutely nothing and be as natural as the universe intended, then absolutely do it. I actually waxed my own legs yesterday after not shaving for about 10 weeks because I read this article and I was like, I'm actually going to just not shave. I'm just going to see how I feel. But I wasn't empowered like I find the Instagram influencers always say they are. I was really indifferent to it. And then the weather started to pick up and I've got a bit hot and sweaty. So I took the razor out and I found some ancient wax strips that I bought, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah, after 3 goes, I was like, why have I started this?
Do you feel it's easier to be hairy when you're in a relationship because they love you anyway?
Yeah, especially when the relationship you're in is done in 2 different countries like mine is. I'm very fortunate that when we have lived together and when we do live together, my husband doesn't care either way because he knows which side his bread is buttered.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, dating is, they say it's the greatest game of all time. And if everyone else is playing by a different set of rules, you put yourself at a disadvantage. So absolutely, there's more pressure on people, you know, looking for love to fit certain standards. And it's crazy, isn't it? Because, oh, I've got to, I don't want to say tick all the boxes, but I've got to tick all these boxes because otherwise I'm going to be alone forever. And I don't want to be alone forever. I want to find someone, but I equally want to be independent and myself and truthful to myself. But I want to find love. You have to play by the rules until you find someone and then you can throw the rule book out the window, which is just insane because don't have the rule book in the first place if no one's truly going to live up to it later on.
I'm going to grow 20 years worth of pubic hair, right? And then I'm going to shave within it the words "hands off, loser." How about that for a first date encounter?
That's either really small font or a generous amount of pubic hair, because that's quite a lot of words to shave down there.
Oh, you ever worn a merkin?
No, I haven't.
I would like to buy a merkin and just put it about my person, like one day have it on my eyebrows, which looks like a really thick eyebrow, and then just on my chins, which just looks like a little goatee. And then, like, I don't know, on my left breast. Let me ask you about the specific Frank of today. There's 2 things I want to talk about. He won't say his age.
My initial reaction was he's slightly older and he doesn't want to be marked down for it. So he's choosing to remain vague with the age bracket, which I think is actually far more helpful, you know, for creating real bonds, because you're removing what could be an obstacle, what could be an emotional blocker before you even meet. So the idea that you would meet and then reveal those things that may get in the way of you finding love. I think that's kind of a better order to do it in.
Do you think dating is ageist?
Yes, completely. I've been watching a TV show called Love is Blind, which I absolutely adore. And one of the guys on there was dating, he went on a date with a woman who was 33, and he said, "You're actually a bit older than what I like to date. I usually like to date, you know, no one over 30. I mean, it's 3 years, come on." So she counteracts with, "Well, how old are you?" And he said, 32. And I was like, oh my God, the mind boggles at your double standards. It's crazy that you think 33 is too old for you, a 32-year-old.
Are there any tips for older daters?
Botox.
Seriously.
No, I'm kidding. Do you know, I actually read some tips for older daters the other day, and one of them was like look your best and kind of dye your hair, and it was all very much like make yourself appear to be something you're not. Whereas my tips would rather be go comfortably, so you know that you feel comfortable and contented in yourself. Embrace your age. You can't do anything about when you were born. So trying to, you know, undo time with hair dye and cool clothes from Topshop doesn't even exist anymore, but that is the only fashionable store I can think of. I was going to say Next. That's not it either. ASOS. Evans. There we go. They're trying to kind of reverse time with fashion and hair dye and injectables. That's all great if you're doing that for you. But if you are doing that for the sole purpose of kind of tricking someone that you're younger than you are, you can't stop time. You can't change how old you are. So the idea that you're going to fight it just gives you an added layer of stress and worry. So instead, let's flip it on its head and embrace it. By all means, dye your hair. I will probably be dyeing my hair when I'm 90, but that's something that I want to do for me. And it was never about looking younger, it was always about not having mousy brown hair. So my first hairdresser described the natural color of my hair as mop water. So I'll never forget that. Many, many years after I started dyeing it. But yeah, she did say, your natural hair's a bit like mop water, isn't it? I was like, yes, it is. That's the exact shade. Funnily enough, I'm just painting my living room in mop water. If collectively we embrace our age and we kind of don't jump through the hoops of trying to look 20 when we're 50, that sends a very strong message to the dating world. So the expectations will shift because we're not feeding into that narrative anymore. So the best thing we can do for ourselves as single people dating is to be authentic. I think it's really important that as someone who is a little bit older, who is looking for love, you're going to have past relationships, past dates, past dalliances under your belt. And with that kind of comes some baggage. And the trick is to not stare back at that past. It's all right to glance at it every now and then and learn from it and use it in your current dating situation. But don't stare at it. Don't focus on it. Let it go and just use it as and when you need it.
Oh, I love that. That is so brilliant. The other thing about this week's Frank is he lives in New Zealand. And, you know, I have only got a 6-zone travel card. Can long distance relationships work, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I'm living one. And we are we've just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Oh. So it is tricky. I'm not going to lie. It takes a whole different skill set to successfully have a long distance relationship. And the skill set essentially is built on a cornerstone of communication and trust. And without those two things, you're in for a bit of a rough ride. I think that's why long distance relationships that start off long distance are a little bit tricky, because you genuinely don't know that person. It's a little bit different when, you know, you're bedded in and you know the person, and then things have to create some distance for work or whatever. But having distance to start with is a different challenge, I'm not going to lie. So communication, trust. I know it's difficult to trust someone you barely know, but just work on it. Keep talking and, you know, be realistic with your expectations and get a Zoom account.
We're talking to Zoom. I've got a little date in a second. So can you give me the pep talk, please, Toots? You need to help me get that second date.
Okay. You are totally going to get this second date. And the reason you're going to get this second date is because we are a little way down our dating journey right now. You've changed so much in your approach to dating. You're far more confident. You're far more together. And you're far less likely to put up with things that are perhaps not ideal. You're really good at avoiding internalizing any rejections or any little things that don't go your particular way. If you take all that into this date with you, you're going to have a really good time.
Do I tell him off for making me get up early? Yes or no?
I mean, I would, because I'm still in my pajamas and I'm livid about not being in bed.
Oh, hi, Frank. Nice to meet you.
Oh, likewise. Fantastic. When you first put your eyes on me, I hope you didn't think it was Halloween down here.
No, you're gorgeous. But Frank, I am annoyed with you.
Oh, what have I done now?
How dare you make me wake up? How dare you make me wake up before 12? I didn't realise there were 2 sevens in the day until I was about 30. Who knew there was an AM? Who knew?
Is that not a radio bandwidth?
Yeah, it should be. How are you? Where are you? You in your studio?
Well, yeah, this was my sort of man cave, studio come office. If I move out the way, you can see a recording desk. Yeah. Behind me, a big fancy recording desk. Right beside me, if I pull it forward.
So I did a little bit of research, obviously, Frank. I wouldn't let just anyone wake me up. You're lucky I'm dressed. Honestly, I've got one.
That's disappointing.
Seriously, you're very lucky.
Stand up. Stand up.
Goes on. What was I going to say to you? Don't you made me laugh now. You had a hit album.
Well.
The
thing is, it's a long story.
Oh, I love a long story.
Do you? You won't say that after this.
I love a long story, as long as you include 3 lies in it.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's the album, funny enough. Mm. I thought you might ask. Where is it? Clan Celtica, Tribal Thunder.
Oh, my goodness. A Scottish tribal band.
Exactly. I don't know if you know of bands. Oh, you're not in Scotland. But if you lived in Scotland near Glasgow, well, some English will know them. A band called Clan Adonia.
Okay, I've heard of them.
They've played lots of big events in the UK, and they're quite globally known amongst the Scottish circles and that type of music. Yeah, it's far from Tweedy type of music, let me tell you. It's nothing like it. I mean, what you hear is the remnants of what we do, and that is like the Scottish military pipe bands. You play big parades and so on. Actually, that's an English invention, which very few people know. Because it comes from the origins of military, and it was the military that started, the English military, British military, that set up in the Highlands in the 1800s after the big Highland clearances. So after they banned, you know, bagpipes and Scottish dress and weapons and talking Gaelic, this is starting to sound political, isn't it?
No, and you should.
I don't mean it to, but so they thought, well, to keep people living in the Highlands, we'll give them jobs. One job was to join the military, and they started up the pipe bands. You know, the pipes again allowed the Scottish to play the pipes, and hence why you got that very organised music of military pipe bands. But this is feral.
Yeah,
brilliant. It's just mayhem, thunderous noises to scare everybody. Even a year to get used to it myself, and I was playing in it. So people looking scary and I wear paint and all the rest of it. And
I love all this. How psyched to have a hit album. That's just incredible.
It was Clan Adonia that inspired me, because they brought out a single that hit the top 10 in the UK on the sort of online charts. I can't remember the name of the charts, like Apple Music or whatever it was. And so that, they were really, really happy about that. They were the first of that type of genre to do it. Mm. So I thought, well, you know what? Let's see if I can get a top 10 national hit in a country. Because I'd just come out of retirement in music a few years prior to that, got back into it. And this was my sort of biggest venture. And I thought to myself, with all my experience in the music industry, I thought, it doesn't matter how niche it is, how marmite it is. If you do it well, it'll sell itself.
I love that.
Sure enough, we got to number 10 in the official album charts in New Zealand. And that was January 2019. We won an award for it as well.
Did you?
Kiwi Music Awards. We got top Celtic International Artist of the Year. So it was all very exciting stuff.
That's amazing.
I've got the wee trophy there. I don't know.
Oh, show me. Come on.
Oh, there it is. There it is up here. Look at that. Music Awards, and our names are mentioned down at the bottom here.
Did you go on stage to collect it?
No. Because
Was it COVID?
Oh, I'll tell you what happened. I said no. No, it was just, it was actually awarded before that. No, it was just before COVID happened. And no, it turned out we were doing a tour in Australia. So they gave it to us then. So we sort of coincided them together. So being Scottish, I don't like to spend money for nothing. So, you know, short arms, long pockets, all that useful stuff. You know, in fact, it's interesting because you know how copper wire was invented?
How do I look like I'd know how copper wire was invented?
It was actually my great-great-great-granddad's. They had a big argument and they were fighting over a wee penny, you know? And that's how copper wire was invented. Great, great Scottish inventions, one of them.
Hey, Frank. Are you Frank or Frankie?
Both. My mum calls me Frankie. Everybody in New Zealand call me Frankie. And my name's actually Frank McCulloch. But they could never pronounce or spell it. So folks started calling me Frankie Mac.
Yeah, that's such a great name. Frankie Mac.
So Frankie Mac.
Hey, Frankie Mac, which, what's the aftershave behind you? Is it Tom Ford? What is it?
Oh, no, it's not Tom Ford. It's David Beckham.
The golden balls, Ray.
It's purely, it was at an auction. I couldn't resist it. So I ended up buying heaps of it. In fact, this one is still wrapped up. I meant to give it to my son for his birthday. It's Christmas. I forgot all about it, but his birthday's coming up. That'll certainly.
Oh, yeah, he'll love that.
Still get here, and there's
give
another
him,
one.
Give him the half empty one. Oh, my God, you've got three of them.
I know. I don't know why it's all there because there's no room elsewhere for the other ones.
What are
Gucci.
The.
It's Gucci.
Oh, is it? And is it knockoff or is it Gucci? How many C's are in
there?
No,
it's probably Gucci. It's probably
are you
Gucci.
Sure? Are you sure?
Oh. Yeah, well, Rab told me.
give me the description of the Beckham smell. What are the top notes, base note, please? What's the aim of it? Come on.
Top notes.
Yeah.
Note. I say that was in the key of B flat. Is that the
kind? That's Victoria's range.
Yeah, B flat. Okay. You meant to say D. I should have said D. Right. That's good. I like that's fast. I like that. That's good. Yes, yeah, it's got a sort of a citrus, woody sort of smell to it.
Oh, I love that. Well, you listen, you could just got yourself a new sponsor for your tour. You've done very well out of this. Hey, why are you in New Zealand?
Another long story that we'll try and cut short.
Go on.
Ever since I was a little kid, my mum, I remember sitting on my mum's knee and she used to always tell me about this amazing place in the world where the temperature always stayed roughly the same. Etc. etc. People are wonderful, vast open spaces, and everybody's so nice to each other. And she was talking about New Zealand. And she got this from her mum, who'd went to New Zealand and spent 6 months here or whatever. Well, being so impressionable as we all are at a young age, it just kind of stuck in my mind. And for some reason, it was always there as a foundation of my ambitions, my aspirations, my drive to do anything was thinking that one day I'll end up in New Zealand and do whatever and have a happy life and so forth. And we've now been here for 11 years.
That's so weird how that kind of really went in.
I know, it is weird. Oh, geez, I mean, it's kind of weird. You just wonder why kids do certain things in certain ways. And maybe you've made me think that when I was 14, I sort of kind of made decisions about my career, my life, and saying, like, I'd been doing music for over 4 years at that point. It was getting really, really intense. And I'd given up sports to accommodate more music practice and all that sort of stuff. But I had it in my head that if I hadn't made it by the time I was 23, that I was going to have a career change. And do it all. And nothing less than being number one in the world and making so much mega money and hits and all the rest of it. Come the age 23, that was the cutoff point. And lo and behold, it happened. Not through self-fulfilled prophecy or whatever. It just happened. I got kicked off a world tour. The moment I was about to step on the plane, I got a big hand on me from the artist's bodyguard. And he said, sorry, Frankie, you're not coming, son. And that was it. There was more to it than that. But ironically enough, going full circle, I do a tribute band where I'm the drummer and it's Led Zeppelin. And we call ourselves with the sort of New Zealand twist. Lead, as in the metal lead, zipline. Now, New Zealand's famous for ziplines. So it's Lead Zipline. And but here's the irony of it. The band that kicked me off the plane to head off was a session band. Yeah. And I was playing with John Martin. I don't know if you remember the artist, John Martin.
I know his family very well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, John's sadly not with us anymore.
Yeah.
But so John's session band that he used to perform live and do all these tours of recording was actually Robert Plant's band as well. Robert Plant, who was the lead singer for Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic that me getting back into drumming and everything else, I'm doing a Led Zeppelin tribute. You know, so it almost sort of completes the circle, ironically.
Okay, so I am full of bad advice, but the only good advice I ever, and it's not even advice, but I just think it's a truth, which I share with my nieces and my nephews, is in life, nothing's ever worked out for me. I don't, please don't cry, Frankie, we've just met. Nothing's worked, nothing, come on, don't have a breakdown. But nothing's gone the way I thought it would go, put it that way. But in work, nothing's been wasted. I can see exactly why that's happened. Oh, I'm doing something and I'm like, if I'm doing radio, I'm like, yeah, I learned about interviewing there. It's like, it's all comes together at some point. And I kind of love that about, it's weird how it hasn't worked in other areas, but in work, in my career, definitely, nothing has been, I know every reason why I've done something. I love that.
I think you're absolutely right, because life is, we all live those similar parallels. But what doesn't change essentially is yourself, hopefully. I mean, if you've got good integral value, integrity and all the other values that we all cherish, you know, and try to nourish as well. All the offshoots that seem to happen in life, you know, it makes you complete as a person, whatever those experiences are. And to be honest, when I reflect on things, all the bad experiences, of course, as we all know, that's probably where you learn most of your lessons. Mm. Life, how to cope with life better, how to find happiness easier. It's always a quest, isn't it, for everyone? And being human beings, we always want more on a relative basis. But if you can touch into what true happiness is, that's the quest for all of us. And as you say, you don't really regret anything. Well, I don't either. Yes, I could have made different decisions. Would it have changed the sort of primary course? Probably not.
Yeah. You know? And also, you don't know what would have happened if you'd made that decision.
If you're true to your own character and what really would make you happy in life, you're probably, these side adventures that you take are just off the highway that you're mainly on anyway. So you get back onto the highway at some point. That's kind of what I was trying to say earlier on. You pretty much have got, I think, a fairly predetermined course.
Do you?
It's somewhat coloured by all the other adventures or misadventures that you may have, may or may not have. Yeah, of course, we can all have strokes of fortune and bad luck and bad sense of timing for various things. But essentially, I think the core you and the core life experience that you go through is relatively, there's a blueprint there that you've followed and you've kind of had to follow it.
I like the idea of that. I like the idea of relinquishing any responsibility, basically. I like the idea of it being something or someone else's fault or their. Is that what you're talking about, Frankie?
Well, yeah, but you can attractive? Use that, because you can take that philosophy and say, I'm staying in my bed.
Yeah.
It's going to happen anyway.
Frankie says.
Well, but if you're true to your own character, you would probably get out of bed anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, eventually. depends when the snacks run out. Did New Zealand live up to what you hoped New Zealand would live up to?
What a question. That's a beauty. Well, it's the yin-yang of life once again, isn't it? A swapped relative comfort. Oh, it wasn't relative. It was good comfort. I was quite well off, to be honest, with the career that I was doing. Sort of flipped that completely around. So I've left absolutely horrendous, chilled to the bone weather, always soaking most days and frozen and not being able to get outside and really do outside stuff because the weather's so bad and just getting worse and worse every year. So you flip that, you get amazing weather and you puts a big smile in your face. But you know what it's like. You can't help smile. The few days that you get every year, especially in Scotland, maybe 2 weeks, lucky, you know, of good weather, you got a big smile on your face. Nobody's fighting in the pubs as much and everybody's having a great, great time. They can drink without erupting into some sort of barney. Well, over here, it's like that every day, virtually. It really is. It's, you know, 8 months, if not 12 months of the year, you can get out and enjoy the sights and sounds of beautiful New Zealand. There's a price to pay for everything, you know. And so here, the economic situation has always been tough. And there is a different dynamic here as to who gets the jobs and who doesn't. So, you know, it's kind of all, I'm not saying it's the same for everyone, but my life course has been, it's a complete flip. Financially, it's been a lot tougher, which kind of impedes ability or the availability to enjoy something. We're getting philosophical again.
I like it. Spray yourself with some more David Beckham while you talk to me. I find that arousing.
There's a great business idea, because you must obviously be able to smell this at the same time. Jesus, I fancy myself now. You know, if only I was chocolate. Okay. So you've got smelly vision over there.
Yeah, we're very, very fast.
Let me smell your feet. Doctor. This is a unique date, this, isn't it? Well, you've got to go bold. I mean, I can't caress and touch and use body line, and I've got to do everything I can.
God, that's so funny. So I'm not asking your age or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you my age. And I think my age is an issue in terms of, because you've met me now and I am nothing but charming. So it's
not
really... But do you think, so I'm nearly 56. Do you think that's a deal breaker?
So I was going to say to you, because you've thrown me off telling me you're 56, because I was waiting for a chance to say, you're telling me that the age group between 35 and 50, do you not have a chance to have long-term relationships or second, third, fourth dates? Now you've thrown me saying you're 56. Because you can get away with it. You can do it. And once they get to know the beautiful BB, age will not matter. In fact, they'll be jealous that you've lived that length of time. You know? And they'll be looking up to you to see if they can last the course that you have. And will they be able to live long enough to enjoy you long enough?
Oh, that's I like that. That's your next album title.
Is it? What was that again? I forgot.
Live the course long enough. I don't know. long course. Let's shorten it. Course. Live.
Course.
Live
course. Of course.
Live.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
I guess, because I just think, I don't know what it is, but I do think, so on the apps, do you do the apps? Do you do dating apps?
Oh, no, but I've got friends that do it.
Oh, it's
I've got a great artist friend. In fact, he's the world's greatest mosaic artist. And he lives in the same village that I do in New Zealand. Unbelievable. Oh. And this guy is amazing. He's from Serbia or Croatia. Jeez, I've forgotten. But it's John Botica. He says Botica to make it easy. It's like the Frankie Mac, right? So John Botica or Botica, I think it's how you say it properly. But he is an amazing artist. And I forgot why I mentioned that to you.
Dating apps. So he does the dating apps.
Oh, dating, yes. Well, that's what it was, dating app. So he's been doing the swipe right and I've been helping him. Because I don't know about it either. So, so he's had some interesting experiences so far. And I think it's been a positive.
Do you? Oh, man, I found it nasty, nasty. But I am taking some, I might just do that. I might start. What about if I lie about my age? Because I think basically, and I don't know if women do this to men, but men do it to women, I think 49 is the cutoff. So I think if they think 50, nah. So if I start putting 49 on my dating profile, and then within the profile say, actually, that was a big fat lie, because I don't want to be really neurotic and on the first date then tell them the real age, and then they'll go, what else did you lie about? The way I'm thinking about you, Frankie, I'm thinking, how many lies have I heard from Frankie today?
I know what you mean. I mean, this whole thing might be one great big lie. I'm not Frankie Mac. I'm somebody else. In fact.
And you're in East Croydon.
Yeah. Are you down, mate? Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Bloody Scottish accent's excellent, isn't it? Yeah. How you doing, cobbler?
Cobbler. You're obsessed with... Yeah, it was appalling. Stop it. Do you think you're... Are you emotionally intelligent? Of course you are. We've spoken. No, you are.
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that was one of my better qualities. Look, I've got a lot of misgivings, like anyone. But I'd like to think that emotional intelligence is a plus point for me, which I know is unusual for fellas. But I was lucky because I had five sisters growing up. Yeah, so how could you fail to be anything other than emotionally intelligent, older and younger than me?
Were you the only boy?
Ambushed, every day ambushed. Wasn't my fault I was wearing girls' dresses and side cupboards hidden away.
But it's what a shame to not show those legs off. Were you the only boy?
No, eventually through pure harassment by me and my mum and dad, it was like Chinese water torture, you know, like the drip and tap they used to do in the soldiers, apparently spies decades ago. it was constant. And they gave up and had another crack at it. Oh. So I ended up with a brother who's 9 years older, the younger than me. Yeah.
So there's seven of you?
Seven of us. The last of the great big families.
I'm one of seven. I'm the eldest of seven. Yeah. Yay! It's a bloody nightmare, isn't it?
Well, you know exactly what the dynamics are like. It's just chaos. Yeah. Poor mum and dad. How did they cope? And then when I look at my dad's family, he had 14.
Oh.
And the time before that was another 14.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness. That's
scary numbers.
That's a lot. Yeah. I don't think I've really met someone else as one of seven. Oh, we're so brilliant.
It's been wonderful to meet a kindred spirit.
Oh.
And if we were long distance, I know it would survive. You would have your second, third, fourth to infinity dates. You would, because you deserve it.
You asked, please, honestly, you're going to make me cry. Don't make me cry. Have a really beautiful day. It's so lovely to meet you.
Yeah, and hope we do it again. Bibby, BB, Bibby, whatever. Lots of love, you know.
Lots of love.
Check out Clan Celtica. Check out Clan Celtica.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, you'll like it. Right.
Have a lovely day. Lots of love. Bye. Annabelle, how are you? Okay.
Oh, baby.
Annabelle, how did I do?
I think you did so well. I think that should we call him Frankie just to differentiate? Yeah. And he definitely suited Frankie. I thought he was utterly charming, very funny. He was really keen to make you laugh, and he really liked it when you did. He was kind of smiling from ear to ear. I thought that was a top-notch date, very easy chat, but you talked about some deep things. It was, you know, it was great.
I loved it. I loved chatting with him. And I think of all our dates so far, I felt most at ease with him. And even talking about, we kind of touched on some topics and didn't obviously go too deep because you're not going to, but I wouldn't have felt that relaxed on the other dates.
Very friendly. Do you know if I didn't know the setup and I had overheard that conversation, I would think I was talking to two people that had known each other for quite a while.
Yeah.
The conversation was so easy. It flowed really nicely. And it's so weird because it was done over Zoom. Like, it's not a natural dating environment, yet it felt very natural to listen to you.
What were your three main points of analysis then?
Okay, so the first was you did a fantastic job. So I'm going to praise you to start with. So you did a fantastic job of managing the meeting of minds. So you talked a little bit about some philosophical things. You talked about your family. You talked about, you know, kind of dreams and happiness, things that are really quite emotionally heavy. You spoke about with ease, which was absolutely fantastic. You read Frankie's reaction and you responded appropriately, and he did the same for you. So that was really good. The second point. I'll do another nice one.
I feel that we're building up to something, Annabelle Knight, but carry on.
Your body language was so relaxed. You were engaging. You were leaning forward. In fact, you both were. I know we're over Zoom, but quite a few dates, there's been a lack of eye contact, kind of like you might be looking down at something or they might be looking away or doodling perhaps. In this one, you were totally engaged. It was like you were having a really interesting conversation that you were both so enthusiastic about. So your body language was fantastic. And thirdly,
yes,
babe, you're sitting down, you kept calling him a liar. Fortunately, he found it funny and it was a joke. But if we were just looking at a transcript, you did ask, what else have you lied about? or you lied to me now. And I was like, baby, leave it. He's like, have a nice time. Don't get too hung up on the honesty peg, because, you know, trust that he's being honest. But he took it in good faith and in jest. So it actually was fine.
Isn't that weird? Is that subconscious? Because I wasn't aware that I was thinking, it was just something funny to say. I didn't realize there was a peg.
So I think, well, I have two kind of versions of why this happens. The first is that the first time you said it, it wasn't jest, and you got a positive reaction from that joke. So you kept, if you maybe felt like he hadn't laughed in a while, you went back to that moment so you could relive it. So the date stayed light and friendly. And that is one reason why people kind of, we call them callbacks. They call back to a time where laughter was had or a good time was had. And it creates a tiny little injection of feel-good chemicals. So you get a little boost of oxytocin and serotonin. So that helps the date move smoothly because you're peppering it with little feel-good moments. On the flip side, it could be that there is something in your subconscious that is really stuck on being lied to. Perhaps you had an experience before where a lie has caused you really great pain, and you're trying, or your brain is trying to avoid that happening again.
It's so complicated, isn't it?
It is. It Why is. Is it so it can, the waters can be muddy because people are complicated.
Yes, stupid people. Have you got any further with the task I set you last time, which was to create some kind of litmus test where people just lick it, and if it goes the right color, then I marry them. Have you got any further with that? Have you been working on that hard?
I mean, I have not stopped.
Yes.
But the science just isn't there yet. Yes. Give me another 10 years and I'll look back into it.
I think I did well. I don't think you're giving me enough praise.
I think you
did
fantastically well. Okay, well, let's go back into the good side of things. So while we're talking about the ease of conversation, what you did fantastically was to listen really well to what he was saying. Never in any point did it feel like you had something to say and you were just waiting for him to finish so that you could say your thing. It was extraordinarily equal and even when it came to the conversation. And when it came to sharing, you both shared kind of deeper things that maybe someone might do on a first date unless they have a really strong connection. And you could see and hear that connection in your voices. He loved it when you laughed, and equally you were so happy when he was happy as well. So it was a really nice kind of cyclical date that was filled with laughter, some emotional connecting. The fact you brought up emotional intelligence was really, it was interesting and telling. And the fact that A, he knew what that was, B, he recognized that his sex and gender are not particularly famed for having that skill. And then he kind of tried to put you at ease that, you know, he brought up his family. I grew up with sisters, so I feel like I understand women a little bit better than the average guy. And I thought that was fantastic because that showed a kind of interest in perhaps another date or a future, because he wanted to abate any fears you may have about his ability to make you happy.
Can emotional intelligence be taught?
It definitely is a skill and it can be taught. Problem is with teaching it is it usually comes at someone else's expense. So I would say if you feel like maybe your emotional intelligence levels are lacking, maybe do some reading or some research of your own and see if you can kind of improve your skills in rather than improving them by using someone else.
Do you think, and I hate to do this because, you know, we're human beings, Annabelle Knight. We're not, you know, numbers, but let's put some numbers on this. My overall grade, please. What's my percentage chance of Frank dating me again?
Judging by the ease of conversation, the positive body language, I would say it's pretty high. I mean, let's say it's an 85%. The only thing I could think that would make him be slightly reticent about the whole thing is the distance, because it is a lot harder to get to know someone when there's a sea between you. But that date went really well, so yeah, I'm sticking to my guns. I think Frankie would say he'd date you again.
Oh, that was my date with New Zealand Frankie. I loved him. He was so charming and so interesting and just really interested, you know. I really, really enjoyed meeting him, and I hope I meet him again. Thank you so much to our brilliant dating coach, the fabulous Annabelle Knight. A huge thank you to today's wonderful Frank. And thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, follow, and leave us a review to help other people find us. Keep listening and join me next time in my, is this what the internet was invented for? Quest to find my Frank. See you then.
Of course I would go back on a date with BB. Definitely. Kindred spirit. Beautiful in every possible way, you know, her personality, her intelligence, her looks. Second, third, fourth, to infinity and beyond is the number of dates I would like to have with BB again.